Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We are talking about the Billy Meier case. Edward Albert Meier is a one-armed farmer from Switzerland. He lives in a beautiful tiny mountain village. It's called Hinterschmidruti. Very green and beautiful in the summertime. Probably getting that way right now. He is in his late 70s. He's written over 40 books, over 1,000 contact notes, bulletins. His writings answer all the big questions in life. Who are we? Where do we come from? What's the purpose of our existence? What happens after death? What's the nature of the universe? One of his recent articles is called "The Source of the Oneness of the Universe." And I'd like to read part of this to you. The whole universe is a oneness which flows through all things, all existence, and all life. In this oneness, the human being who has a distinct need is also integrated, whereupon the universal oneness also responds when he/she brings his or her words to expression. It responds to positive thoughts and feelings and to the positive word pronounced, and indeed, in an equally directed way, consequently, a positive reaction takes place. However, if the thoughts and the feelings, and therefore also the word, is negative, then a corresponding negative reaction takes place. And since the human being is a universal vision and connected in the oneness, and everything he or she works with in a greater whole, it is for this reason announced for him or her based in the thought and the feelings and in the word to dwell only in the positive, equalized, affirmative, and optimistic, and to encompass and to include the source of the oneness in this way. Truthfully, it is namely given that the human being embraces the universal source of the oneness and allows it to bubble up in the good and the positive for him or herself. Then he/she has an unlimited supply of all that is good and valuable of the life. Billy talks about the universal consciousness, which is the intelligence which runs our universe. It's neither good nor evil. It creates universes as part of its own evolution, and there are more than one universe. There are 10 to the 49th power individual universes which exist in infinite number, in infinite space, and infinite time. And this whole infinity, if you would want to call it that, is called the absolute absolutum. So every universe has its own universal awareness. Ours is called the Dern universe. The parallel universe to ours is the Tao universe, and each one of those universes has a universal consciousness. And the universal consciousness is not a heavenly father. It's a kind of impersonal spiritual energy. It creates universes as a part of its own evolution. It also creates human spirit forms so that they can live many, many lives and bring back that experience of those lifetimes to the universal consciousness. And we all have a spirit form. The spirit form resides in the center of our midbrain in an area called the superior colliculus. That area controls sight. And you have a little tiny spark of the universal consciousness in you, and it's called your spirit form. It never dies. It never sleeps. It records all of your thoughts and all of your impulses, and it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. You have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness is your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind. Your spiritual consciousness kind of is all related to that spirit form that resides in your physical body. Now, the spirit form came in at 21 days after the sperm fertilized the egg, and it started the heart to beat. It sent its energy all over the body, and it brought that fetus to life. And locked deep within every fetus in the subconscious are the memories of the predecessor personalities. And you and I have predecessor personalities that may or may not have evolved their consciousness in a given lifetime. But the evolution of your consciousness, gaining wisdom, is the purpose of your existence. And that's why we live all of these lifetimes. And after you die, your spirit form will come out of your body, and it will bring with it your consciousness. The Meyer information refers to that as the consciousness block. And your consciousness will then go into the spirit realm with your spirit form. And the consciousness goes into an area called the overall consciousness block. And your previous life experiences then are translated into their essences. And these essences are things like truth and love and patience and kindness and wisdom. And all of those are processed into a neutral positive energy, which strengthens your spirit form. Those memories are placed in the subconscious of the new consciousness, because the spirit form, along with the consciousness block, will create a new consciousness for the next lifetime. And ideally, you will spend a lifetime and a half in the spirit realm while all of these things take place. And then your spirit form will be put back into the body of a child. And when that spirit form comes in, the new material consciousness comes in, which will have a new personality. It will have in its subconscious the memory of the previous life. And you will begin the whole process of growing up again. But you will get impulses from your spirit form, you will get impulses from the memories of your predecessor personalities, and you will get impulses from the universal storage banks, which are kind of archives of information that exists in the universe, and that will give you a leg up over the previous lifetime, so that this, in the new lifetime, you will be able to evolve a little farther than your last lifetime. So we live many, many lifetimes. There are seven evolutionary steps that spirit forms go through. They start out as kind of primitive, and they go to what's called rational life. Most spirit forms on the earth are in rational life right now, stage two of the evolution. Most spirit forms have lived either in material lifetime or in the spirit realm 4 to 5 million years. So the spirit form generally on Earth is about 4 to 5 million years old. The next stage for spirit forms on the Earth here will be intelligent life. And then after that will be what's called real life. And spirit forms in real life live in human bodies that have the abilities to travel from star to star with no time passing. They also have abilities for great genetic engineering. And it's at this point that the distinction between machines and biological life gets blurred. Just one quick example would be Semyonov's ship, which had an organic intelligence in it, which was sentient, and she could speak with it telepathically. Another interesting thing to think about, the thing that's happening now, and I'm becoming more and more aware of it, is something called the collective subconscious. And I think that's one thing that is occurring here on the earth, is that we all have a collective subconscious. And that means that, in a way we don't understand yet, all human beings on the earth are connected subconsciously. And I think that's there. I don't want to go into that too much because part of this is my own speculation, but it's based on the Meyer material as well. One example of that is when someone invents something on the one side of the world, a couple of days later, another person will invent that same thing. So we see that. Anyway, back to the stages of evolution. The fourth stage is real life. The fifth stage is life and creational wisdom. And in that stage, there are human beings that get to this level that the Meyer information calls the Ish Wish, or King of Wisdom. Let me read something about that. The Pleiaren themselves have been able to sustain 50,000 years of peace, and that's with the help of their own King of Wisdom, their own Ish Wish. They're at this stage, at the fifth stage, which is called Life and Creational Wisdom. Human beings start to get to such a level of wisdom that they will transition out of the need for a physical body into the sixth stage, where it lasts. I mean, that's, you spend a lot of time in the sixth stage. The first five stages take about 40 to 60 million years of evolution to get through. The sixth stage is half physical, half spiritual, and then the seventh stage is completely spiritual, and then there are seven stages of the seventh stage, and it starts out with the Erhad Athrasada and goes to what they call the Patali level. Now, according to the Meyer material, supposedly Billy's Edward Albert Meyer spirit form has been through all these stages and has come back to the physical. His spirit form is supposed to be 9.6 billion years old. He's lived an unusual number of lifetimes. He's the only spirit form, supposedly, in our universe that has ever been given the task of coming back into the physical. And part of the reason is for that happening is for him to be a teacher, not just on the Earth, but he's also taught on other worlds, in other galaxies, and at other times. And to put that in perspective, his spirit form is 9.6 billion years old. That makes it older than our Earth. So one thing that's interesting about looking at this from that perspective is it gives you a different look on life, because our perspective is so based on the physical. And I think that's part of the reason of the problems we have on this earth, because we're materialistic intellectual thinkers and we really need to be spiritual thinkers rather than so focused on the physical. And Semyasi talked about that, material intellectual thinking, and how that can be a problem. It's really the only perspective I think we know here on the earth. And part of the whole purpose of this Meyer information is to slowly, slowly change our thinking so it comes in more in line with an understanding of the way things really are. Let me continue here with the source of the oneness. Human being of Earth, it is announced to you that you open yourself to the wellspring of the oneness of the universe, which gushes for you, and out of which forms a rich stream upon which you set sail your whole life long. Open up your thoughts and feelings and climb aboard your ship of life in order to motor along down the stream of life and to find all the other uncountable sources in the universe which are connected to the primordial depths and with the source of the oneness. You know, the Meyer information talks about creational natural laws. And the first creational natural law is the law of love, not the false love, the romantic love that we talk about here on the earth, but this deeper, larger love, which becomes, it's put this way in the Meyer material, and the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. So the analogy I use is that we have a star in the middle of our solar system called our sun. It radiates light and heat, and that allows the whole solar system to live. It doesn't do that because it has a personal relationship with the Earth, per se. But it does it because that's its nature. And that's kind of the way this universal consciousness, the universal awareness, that's just its nature. It doesn't really, it's impersonal. It really doesn't even have a personality. And Billy has said before that if it had a personality, it couldn't have built all the matter in our material belt of our universe. Now, there's something profound there that I'd like to understand in greater depth. But there is an impersonal spiritual energy which radiates love. And it's the love of creation is said to be the warmth radiating from the center of our universe. And its majesty is expressed in the tremendous beauty of nature. And love is said to be the highest principle in all creation. And everything follows that principle in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal. Humans do not have to follow that love of creation, do not have to follow the plan of creation, because we truly have a free will, a true consciousness. The animals still will follow instinct, and that's why they're so comforting for us to be around. That's why they're so easy for us to love, is because they follow nature's plan already. And even when the predator captures the prey, I think that's still, in a way we can't understand yet, part of this whole law of love, which he says the infinite love of creation connects all life, because in all life that love lies hidden. And I always go back and draw the analogy of when Billy was a little boy looking up at the beautiful starry sky. And he saw the radiating light of the stars, but he sensed an invisible light, which he called the love of creation. And without the love of creation, nothing in the universe would exist. Now, the Meyer material talks in not so good terms a lot of times about the religion on Earth. And let me read something. This comes from an interview that Billy did, I think, in 1988. It says, "Religion, as the earth human knows it and pursues it in the form of the adoration of a god, adoration of saints, and as faith in God, is a horror to the Pleiaren. They consider this form of religion a blind faith based on cult activities, false teachings, lies, and other falsehoods. It is faith that can never be proven as true, and one which contradicts all the truthful and logical foundations of the creative laws and the commandments, and also defies intelligence. Religion embodies a deprivation of the spiritual freedom of the human being. Religion is also a brutal, criminal, and exploitive enslavement of the human consciousness, reaching from total dependence, serfdom, and a lack of willpower, all the way to uncontrolled fanaticism, mental illness, and utter idiocy. The spiritual life of a human being means, in simplest terms, life in the spiritual recognition of and obedience to creation, its laws and commandments." So we talked about the first creational natural law of love, and that love is the highest principle in all creation. There's another principle in creation. It's called the creational natural law of striving. And all of us have to continue striving. Striving is working, continually working to evolve our consciousness. And let me read this from Billy's book. It's called The Way to Live, and it talks about work and human striving. It says, "A human being works in order to be one with the life and the consciousness, and to keep in step, as well as to form the life and to have his or her livelihood and everything necessary. Being idle means to veer off the course of life, and to be estranged from all its dignity, to neglect the advancement into the endlessness, and to not understand the sense of the existence. When the human being works, then he/she is like cosmic harmony, which undulates through everything, and which, as if through a soft whispering, lets everything vibrate in love and joy, in which true human being remains mute, still, and inactive, when his or her environment and the cosmos spread the melody of love, concord, and joy in harmonious accord. So striving is related to your happiness, and the whole fact that you embrace your work and you focus on your work is completely related to how happy you are. See, if you follow these creational natural laws of love and of striving, then you will be happier as a person. Let me continue here. The old teaching that work is a curse and is toil and unfortunate is erroneous, because truthfully, work is the pride of the human being and the way to the existence and evolution. It is the reward for the effort. Therefore, when the human being works, he/she fulfills a part of the progress of the human dream, which is anchored in the creational natural laws and recommendation as striving. So striving is the second creational natural law that we need to fulfill and we need to focus on. The other one is the law of harmony. And the law of harmony says your thinking should be neutral positive. When your thinking is neutral positive, you'll be able to harness the might of your own thoughts, because the might of your own thoughts is something, again, that we don't quite understand, and I sure don't understand it completely by any means. Because if you harness the might of your own thoughts, then not only will you have good feelings, you'll develop these good life habits. And when these good life habits develop, like the habit of striving and the habit of focusing on your work, well, then you will get to the point where the circumstances in your life start to get better and better and better. You see, you are the master of your own destiny. You are the master of your own life. And it's just a matter of right thinking. It's a matter of learning to think in a neutral, positive way, which is also a challenge. You know, it's not always the easiest thing to think in a neutral, positive way. But it's the one thing that we need to focus on, because it's the good thinking that brings the good circumstances into your life. And you have the power to bring good circumstances in your life. Let me continue here with this article called The Oneness of the Universe. The creational nature brings you and your life blessings when you recognize that you are one of its creations, that you are determined as such to further carry the creational natural within you by using the source of the oneness of the universe, letting it bubble. You are there to refresh and thus radiate the one energy and power usefully and creatively in your own life and surroundings. So this creation, this universal consciousness, is a natural production of its own evolution. And the human being is too. The more you work in the law of striving, you will be the product of your own evolution, because the more you strive, the more you will evolve. So, just like the human being and all living creatures, as well as the entire universe and everything existing in it, corresponds to the causal forms of evolution given by the creational natural laws in its natural evolutive energy. Okay, this is another thing that we need to try to wrap our minds around, because our religions have us, you know, in connection with the highest power in the universe. And it's in our spirit form. Our spirit form has something called the Gemut, which controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. But it's not like you go out and shake hands with the universal consciousness, or you're going to go out and shake hands with the energy that runs the whole universe. It doesn't quite work that way. But I wanted to continue on this idea of what the love of creation is. It says that no life is able to exist without love and without the light of truth. And no light is able to exist without love and truth. And no truth is able to exist without light and love. So love is also related to truth. Without love, you really can't even have truth. Semyasa used to say, she kind of put it in different terms. She said that love and wisdom go together. And that the creation is love and wisdom at the same time. And that true love is true being. It is the everlasting warmth from the center of creation, which I talked about earlier, which is described as true existence. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. And in the Goblet of Truth, it says, bushes, trees, stones, rivers, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. And these spirit forms are on a journey through time, which involves many, many lifetimes. And that death is just the transition into the spirit realm, into the world of pure spirit, and that the creatures in creation are connected by these psychic swinging waves. Remember me talking about the collective subconscious? Well, we have here on the earth, humanity has a collective subconscious. We just don't know how it works yet. We don't know how to use it. But eventually, when we get to the point where we can have telepathy, we will start to be able to work that collective subconscious. Now, we can see this in action in nature. When the birds and the bees, especially all the animals, when they start to wake up in the mornings, if you're not living in a city, you can hear this. You can hear the cicadas and the insects and the birds as they all start to communicate with one another because they're aware of each other. There'd be things called the psychic swinging waves. And you can see in the birds as they move, as they go from tree to tree, and as a group, they turn and move, and they can do all these things. And the Meyer information explains it this way. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. The individual should therefore be aware that he exists only through the love of creation, and that he carries this love also within himself. Creation radiates love. And when you develop this Empfindung, as it's called in the German, you will have the fine sensitive feeling that starts to be able to sense the radiating love of creation, which is radiating all the time. And that's why it's so important to be out in nature. Creation created everything in love and logic and put that same love in all its creatures so that life itself is love. But often the world seems to consist of conflict and drudgery. And life can feel heavy and like a tough battle. And that's usually when our minds have turned away from creation and when we're not longer living in neutral, positive thinking anymore. Now, as I said earlier, creation makes its love apparent through its creation. But you have to be willing to see and recognize this love, to be able to feel it. And if you open yourself up to the love of creation, and you allow it to flow in yourself, you will be filled with respectful gratitude and joy. And like I said earlier, every tiny plant, every tiny animal was created in love by creation. And each creation exists according to the same law of love. And all life is in the absolute perfection that it should be through the love of creation. And as I said, every animal lives according to creation, all plants, all animals. It's only the human that can step outside of that love and turn away from love. But it's time for us now to learn again what that love is. Because the infinite love of creation connects all life, because in all life that love lies hidden. If you look to creation, if you look to the beauty of the trees and the mountains and the streams, you will see this love expressed visibly. And you will see the laws of creation. They are wonderfully arranged. And if you're sensitive, you'll come up against the radiating love. But if you don't sense it, you've closed your senses off to it. You may not know it. I think it's the natural state of life today, is the closed senses. If we didn't have closed senses, we could not live the way we are living. If we opened up our senses, we would start to change our way of life. So that is the love of creation. There is a universal awareness, as I said earlier. Creation is a universal self-awareness. And there are 10 to the 49th power universes in the absolute absolutum. And every universe has a universal consciousness. And without this concept of love, we would have no universe. Let me continue here with this article that Billy's written called The Oneness of the Universe. The Oneness of, got too many papers, The Source of the Oneness of the Universe. Creational nature brings you and your life blessings when you recognize that you are one of its creations, that you are determined as such to further carry the creational natural within you by you using the source of the oneness of the universe, letting it bubble. You are there to refresh and thus radiate the one energy and power usefully and creatively in your life and in the surroundings. The creativity is the gift of the creational nature to you. And if you are creative, you are in turn giving everything and the respect to the fellow human being, to everything that exists, to all life forms, and together the entire universe. Creativity is the natural extension of your creative nature, which is given to you through the creational natural laws, which you yourself, however, must consciously bring into effect. And if you follow this law, then with that you also nourish the source of the oneness of the universe and bring forth the new connections to anything and everything existent, whereby you also fulfill your own dreams. So if you start to harness these creational natural laws, if you live by the law of striving, by the law of harmony, by the law of love, you will start to fulfill your own dreams, which in turn have their true origin in the source of the universal oneness and bubble out when drinking from it. This is a very profound article. I'm going to take a lot of time meditating and thinking about this. But one of the big problems we face is, you know, when we don't think in a neutral, positive way, when we think in a very positive or extremely negative way, and it brings our spirits down. And one of the things that you can do to fight that situation is to learn these meditative sentences, which help to restore your thinking to the correct kind of thinking. Everything, here's one, everything is achievable for me, and I master whatever I accomplish. Everything is achievable for me, and I master all that I accomplish. Everything is achievable for me. I master all that I accomplish. The other thing is learning to have what's called the wish dream. And think of a pleasant circumstance, something that makes you very relaxed and happy. And if you think about that, it can restore your thinking to the neutral positive. And there is a kind of love that is on this earth which is not the neutral positive love, the wisdom conditioned love. It's an emotion-based false form of love, which is subject to enormous fluctuations in intensity and can even transform into rage and hatred. I'm sure you've experienced that yourself. But wisdom-conditioned love is a harmonious state of connectedness to all things. And then that's what we're talking about here, is starting in your mind to realize that you are connected to all things. And let me continue here. Of course, one cannot easily go there to understand this, to contemplate nature and to empfinden the love of creation and also one's own love, especially when you haven't done that for many years and you've learned to think differently. We have to learn again to sense the love of creation, which comes primarily through thinking, because thinking influences feeling. And one of the ways you can start to do this, as absurd as this may sound to you, is take your shoes off and walk. Walk around your yard, walk around someplace, and that will help you feel again. It will stimulate nerve endings in your feet. And I haven't been able to do that today, but I did that a lot last weekend. It really helps. You can also go out and appreciate nature. Let's see what my material says here. If, for example, one stands before a tree, one should become fully aware that the tree is the product of creative love, just as the forces of nature, which enable it to grow and flourish. Nature has repeating patterns, like the branching structure of a tree that we're talking about here. You see the same branching structure in other plants, in our circulatory system, in lightning as it shoots through the sky. You see, nature works through repeating patterns. And on other worlds, you'll see trees and human beings just like you see here. On those few worlds which sustain life, which sustain higher life. The Meyer information says there are 7 million civilizations. There are 7 million solar systems which have at least one planet like ours, which supports all aspects of life. And according to Meyer information, in our ancient past, there were 3 planets in our solar system that supported not only life, flora and fauna, plants and animals, but human life. Mars supported life, and another planet called Melona supported life. Melona was destroyed when its inhabitants diverted an ocean into a volcano and caused their own planet to explode, which also negatively affected Mars as well. And that explosion became our asteroid belt. The people on Melona were brought there from a race of people that we call the Creator Overlord sometimes in the Meyer information. And they came from the Sirius system. And they brought those people to our solar system. And these people were genetically manipulated to have a shortened lifespan. Lifespans of human beings in the universe can be for thousands of years. But we have we all now share this genetic manipulation, which has a propensity for aggression and this shortened lifespan. This occurred because we all have this genetic defect. Let's call it that. It was a manipulation. It was done intentionally by these people from the Sirius system because they had lost their ability to fight. And I was talking about the fourth stage of human evolution, where we learn this great ability to do these genetic manipulations. But they can go awry at times. But that's maybe a story for another day. But the Earth is very ancient. And the life of the Earth and life on the Earth is very ancient. Our Great Pyramid, for example, the Maya information explains, is 73,000 years old. And it was designed by a people that were from the constellation Orion. And not only were they, there was a group of pyramids built 73,000 years ago and another group right about 36,000 years ago, something like that. So if we knew our own history, it would start to change a lot of the problems that we face here on the Earth. Again, just to explain a few things quickly, Billy has had extraterrestrial mentors since a very before 1945. He had Sfoth as a teacher for 11 years, and he had another woman starting right around he was 16 years old, who also was his teacher. And her name is Asket, and she taught him many things. She took him far below the Giza Plateau, and Billy at a very young age saw the Giza intelligences and started to understand the manipulations that were going on this Earth and some of the what was causing some of the things that were happening in the background. And we talked about Hitler and how he was influenced by this negative extraterrestrial race called the Bifath, or the Giza intelligences. But I want to get back on the topic of today, which I guess we can call the oneness of the universe. And Billy's third teacher was a woman named Semyase. She was about 344 years old at the time of his contacts with her, a very attractive woman, sparkling blue eyes and light blonde hair. She did suffer a collapse in 1977, a life-threatening accident at the Semyase Silver Star Center in Hinterschmidt-Ruti. And that really cut their contacts off. And then Billy's been receiving contacts from two Plearen men named Ptah and Quetzal. The Plearen are not from our Pleiades. They live in a different space-time configuration, about 80 light years from our Pleiades. They live on a planet called Era. Era is very similar to the Earth, but if you change time back to about the 1700s or 1800s, it would be much more like the Earth was then. It has very massive forests. It has no kind of mining going on, no roads on the surface. A small population of about 500 million humans that live in complete creational wisdom and in balance with total nature. There's no pollution, no radiation. They haven't had war for 50,000 years. And this is our goal. This is the goal, or should be the goal, of the people of the Earth. To learn to control our thinking, to understand these creational natural laws, and to start to come in balance with all of nature. And we all have a spirit form. It doesn't die, it doesn't sleep, and it records all of our thoughts and motions and impulses. And the human spirit is the bearer of the creative realm. And every human has a spirit form. And we need to start living a life that's in sync with the spirit form. Because in the non-creational human being, the material intellect is dominant. And the material intellect has limitations. And because we focus on the material intellect, we have a very slow development here on the earth. And the material intellect accepts the testimony of the material senses and the resulting conclusion, but it never follows these deep subjective intuitions of the human spirit. And we need to get back to be able to follow these intuitions that are part of our human spirit, because we can get guidance from the human spirit. The spirit and the consciousness are on the lookout for what is perfect. They're looking out for harmony, for peace, for cognition and realization, for knowledge, wisdom, truth, and beauty. And this is the yearning of the human spirit. Yearning is an intense longing for something. And the human spirit has this longing for this perfect joy and peace that comes from connection to the oneness of the universe. And that leads to joy. Joy can be defined as an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what you desire. So the spirit, if we can start to learn to no longer be subject to the outside influences as much, but to be guided by the spirit, by the spirit form of that is inside you. And there's in the Goblet of Truth, it's put this way. Therefore, you humankind of earth, you must strive and evolve as individuals in yourself from out of your own consciousness as well as out of your own thoughts and feelings in order to come to the truth and to the fine spiritual perceiving of the love of creation, so that there can be true love and harmony as well as freedom and peace in you, in order to carry to then also carry forth these high values so that you and the humankind of earth may profit from this, and so that everything may turn to the best. And that's what we're trying to do here. We are blinded here in the day and age we live in. We live in a time called the third millennium. And in the third millennium, we're focused on the materialistic thinking that focuses on gaining material wealth and pursuing wealth. There is also a kind of confusion and maliciousness that's spread all over the earth. And the people of the earth, unfortunately, are being dumbed down. And we're indolent and we're obtuse, we're insensitive, we're slow to understand. And part of this is occurring because of the electronic media, and it's because of the intentional dumbing down of kids when they're taught. But if you listen to the music that is coming out today on the pop stations, not that there isn't good music, there is good music, very good music, but you have to find it. But do not read online if you can help it. Try to keep that as low as possible because it destroys your consciousness. So we're blinded by illusionary images here. And if you watch the movies, if you watch the trailers, you can see these illusionary images that are everywhere. Now, we need to use the human spirit, follow the creational natural laws, and learn these creational natural laws, because the human spirit is said to be a wonder. It's sometimes called the wonder of all wonders, and that it says that all power emerges from it. And every human has a spirit. And if you're happy, this happiness is coming from within you. It is a self-created state. And it's not because of location. Sometimes location helps. And the circumstances of your life help. But joy comes forth from your inner part. And it comes from spiritual poise. And this joy and this wisdom, it's a tremendous elemental power. And so we have to start to understand that we have a oneness with the universe. Let me read something here that's kind of interesting. And therefore, there is only one existence that rules throughout the universe. Only one creation, only one truth, one knowledge, and one wisdom. And that is synchronous and unchanging for all time. So there's really a oneness to the universe. And life is an interconnected web. And when you start to understand that, you start to understand that wisdom-conditioned love is a harmonious state of absolute connectedness with all things. And it's indestructible. It has no temporal limits. So the longer, the more these thoughts affect loving feelings and spiritual fine sensitive feelings, the Empfindung, and these turn will make the bond with all life a certainty, and that a simple blade of grass, a bird, a shrub, or some other living creature is driven by this same love to fill its purpose in creation's plan. And humans should also do this as the highest form of life on the planet. The human carries a fragment of creation within. And therefore, the love of creation with him is the power which he is able to invoke in himself. This is the spirit form. Then suddenly, love is no longer such an insincere and longingly hoped for experience, but it becomes this fine sensitive feeling, this Empfindung, that comes from one's own mental effort. What is love? Love is the absolute certainty of oneself living and existing in everything. So there's this, your existence is also existing inside that tree, in the fauna, in the flora, in the fellow human being, in each material and spiritual life form, and in the existence of the entire universe. And that's why Semyasi said that love and wisdom belong together, because creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. Anyway, this is, again, not an easy thing to wrap your mind around. If you think about it in the left brain sorts of terms. But there is this law of harmony that also goes right along with the law of love, and it's talked about in the Goblet of Truth here, and it says, you human beings, you are part of the universe with its immutable eternal laws and recommendations of the creation, in which a purpose for existence, see, we all have a purpose for our existence, and the purpose for our existence is the same, and it's to evolve your consciousness, to go through those evolutionary steps, and to unite back with creation. So, we all have a purpose for existence. It's also determined for you the sense of life, which is given in the relatively highest possible evolution of the consciousness. And if you recognize this life purpose, we're supposed to recognize this life purpose of evolving our consciousness. How do we do that? That's where the law of striving comes in. And the law of striving is very interesting because you can be sweeping out your garage and fulfilling the law of striving. It doesn't have to be something profound. But life will give you the challenges if you look for it. If you can stay away from idleness, because idleness will strip you of your life purpose and life sense. What you want to do is bring yourself into relationship with your own existence in every hour, every day, and at all times. And then you will recognize that you'll slowly start to become Lord and master over yourself. And that's the first thing you have to learn in the law of striving, is that you have to become master over yourself. And that's a challenge, because we have the natural proclivity to not think in a neutral, positive way. But if you are Lord and master over yourself, then you'll be able to arrange your surroundings in your life. And through your knowledge and your wisdom, you will bring fairness, and your life will start to go towards this evolution of the consciousness. You can start also to overcome the challenges and the hardships that come in your life. Because we will get those challenges and hardships that come into our life. And we have to face them with this neutral positive thinking. Let me continue here and read this. Therefore, the real life is made up of more than just those things that are learned and are taken in as school knowledge. Because there is truly a higher regulation in life, which is based on these creational natural laws. And learning these creational natural laws has great practical value in your life. As I guess, hopefully you're starting to see, and I'm starting to see as well. It takes a while to kind of get down to the practical side of this. And I wanted to quickly read again something from The Way to Live. This is one of Billy's most recent books. It's called The Way to Live, The Art zu Leben. And I buzzed through it quickly for the first time. I probably should go through it again. But let me read this here. It says, the human being acts contrary to that with her grasping and holding fast to life. So one of the things we have to learn to do in life is letting go, which is a difficulty sometimes. Because in order to prepare for death, you have to be able to let go. And you may have had a really good life, and you're not really so excited to prepare for death. But we are mortal. Let me continue here. But this is not only anxiety, because even further forms of this kind depress him in her. Thus, he or she not only has anxiety about letting go of the life when the time determined for him or her has come, because he or she also has anxiety about really and truly living according to creational natural laws. And she or she has anxiety about fulfilling his or her striving for evolution. And he or she has anxiety about truthfully learning and practically experiencing the effect of truth. You know, one of Billy's meditations is, how does that go? It says, there exists within me neither fear nor anxiety. There exists within me neither anxiety nor fear. There exists within me neither anxiety or fear. But sometimes anxiety and fear do come and kind of attack us. So, hopefully the information we talked about this evening has helped, and that you will start to learn the law of love and the law of harmony and the law of striving, and that will make your life better. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.